2 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 6. The Bible says this, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly nor or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." The message this morning is going to be one that I don't preach very often, but it's a message that is very needful. It's about financing the gospel going around the world. We have missionaries come in once in a while, and the missionaries will come to our church, and they'll introduce themselves, and we'll get to meet them. Sometimes they'll show a video on the screen about where they are going to be missionaries. And the way it works, is I've never met, and there may be some, I've just never met one, a missionary that has so much money saved up or such a residual income from an investment somewhere that they can just pick up and leave and support themselves as they go around the world to reach the world with the gospel. In fact, that's not God's plan. God's plan is for the churches to send out a missionary and for the churches to support that missionary so that that missionary can go out and spend his time and spend his life preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and reaching people with the gospel. So what I'm going to preach this morning is about investing in getting the gospel around the world. We don't preach a message about money very often here at New Heights Baptist Church, but I know as soon as I do that, maybe you'll be here. Maybe this is your first time this morning, or you don't come very often. I've got some guests that I met yesterday when we were out knocking doors. I'm so glad that they're here this morning. If this is your first time here, I want you to realize I don't preach every Sunday about money. All right, I try to give my offerings every Sunday. I try to give my tithes every Sunday. But this is one. It's such an important message. And it's one that I want to make sure we spend the time on this morning. I'm going to read some verses for you from chapter 8 and chapter 9. And I want you to see some of these verses about giving. Look at chapter 8, verse number 3. Verse 2 and 3. "How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves." We're talking about a group of Christians that were willing to give. And because they were willing to give, the gospel went out and people were reached. Look at verse 5. "And this they," chapter 8, verse 5, "and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." The Bible's talking about a giving here in chapter 8 and chapter 9. Look at chapter 9 now. Look at verse number 12. Chapter 8, verse 12. "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men may be eased and ye burdened." Now we're in verse 14. "But by inequality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality." Then we read verses in chapter 9, we read verses 6 through 8, talking about giving. Let me ask you this question. What would you say if a wealthy business owner walked into the auditorium today and found you? They called you by name and they said, "I've got a business. It's a very successful business. There's a lot of money in my business and a lot of things happening in my very successful business. And I'm looking for a partner. And I want you to be my partner." Back when I was a kid, I guess he still probably would be somebody that we would use as an example. But when I was a kid, if somebody said the name Bill Gates, and if Bill Gates walked in and wanted you to be his partner, what would you say? If somebody came in that had a business, very successful business, and they asked you, "Would you be my partner?" What an opportunity. I mean, think about this. A business opportunity like you've never imagined before, because they've got a very successful business and they say they want to be your partner. So you say yes and you agree and you set up a meeting and you sit down over lunch and he sits down and he teaches you the way his business works. And he gets a napkin out. Isn't that the way that they do it? The business plan written on a napkin. And he gets his legal pad out and he begins to write out some instructions. If you're going to be a partner with him in this super successful business that he is running, he says, I've got some guidelines and let me teach you how my business works. I'll teach you how I built my business and I'll teach you how you are going to help me in my business. My eyes would be about this big. If it was a lunch meeting, I wouldn't eat any of my food on my plate because I would just be nervous. I'd be scared to death that this person is going to ask me some questions and find out that I really don't know anything about what I'm doing and say, forget it, you're fired, or I don't want to be your partner after all. But he goes through and he begins to teach you how his business works. Now here's your job. Your job in his business is going to be to take his money and to put his money into the different parts of the business. To distribute this really rich guy's money and distribute it to payroll and distribute it to purchasing and distribute it to paying bills. And you're going to take his money, use his money, and you're going to distribute it. And he gives you enough money to get started. And he's going to trust you to determine the best investments in his company. So you've got to listen carefully. You want to make sure that you're doing it the way he wants you to do it. I mean, this is an opportunity of a lifetime. You're sitting down with a millionaire, a multimillionaire, and he's telling you, I want you to be my partner, and I want you to spend my money. I just want you to do it the right way. And I'm going to teach you the right way to do it. Now, how many of us, if you're sitting down at this lunch meeting, you're thinking, I'm okay with that. I would try it. At least give me a try to do this. I might mess it up, but at least give me a try. He's going to give you the money that you need in order to make the investments that you're supposed to make. And here's the thing. It's not your money. It's his money. But he's going to give it to you and let you make the decisions where you're going to put that money, how you're going to invest it, what you're going to spend it on. And he's going to expect you to get his money to the best investments. And after you give the money to the investments, he's going to provide you with more money to put into more investments. And he says, listen, the amount of money I'm talking about is beyond your wildest dreams. You can't imagine the amount of money that I'm talking about investing in this company, and I'm going to run this money through you, legally, of course, because this is a legal business, okay? We're not talking about money laundering or anything like that. We're talking about a businessman that says, I want to use you as a partner to spend my money and invest my money for me. And after you invest my money, I'll give you more money to invest. And after you invest that money, I will give you more money to invest. I just need a partner who is not going to take the money that I give him and keep it for himself. I need a partner that I can trust. I need a partner that's going to invest the money the way I want it to be invested and not the way you want it to be invested. And well, that makes sense. I'll invest it the way he wants me to invest it because it's not even my money in the first place. It's his money. If he tells me how he wants me to do it, I'll do it. I don't have any problem with that. Can you imagine yourself sitting across the table from this person and thinking, wow, this is the greatest opportunity I've ever been given in my life. I want to do this right. He gives you three simple principles for success in his business. I'm going to give you those three principles and we're going to move quick this morning. Here's the three principles he gives you. And he says, if you will live by these three principles in investing my money, you're going to invest wisely, you're going to make money, and I will pay you well, and our business will be successful. All of these things will happen, but you've got to go by these three principles. And here's the first one he gives you. And he calls it the law of sowing and reaping. The law of sowing and reaping is the first principle that he gives you. And he teaches you this, and he opens his Bible to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. He reads this to you. There is that, by the way, isn't it great working for a Christian businessman? Aren't you glad that you work for him? I'm just telling you, he opened his Bible during this. Okay, so we're making this up, but I think that's a pretty awesome thing. There is the scattereth, Proverbs 11, 24. There is the scattereth, and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but it tendeth to poverty. The word meat there means appropriate. So if you withhold more than is appropriate, you're going to have poverty. So there's a law, and if you could look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, you see the law of sowing and reaping. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And this rich businessman tells you, if you will live by this law of sowing and reaping, you will be successful in my business. And he tells you, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. And here's how he illustrates it. He takes a seed. In this case, I've got a corn seed. In fact, I've got a few corn seeds here. And he says, if you plant sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. Well, what's that mean? That means if I plant one corn seed in the ground, am I going to have 10 corn plants that grow out of the ground? No. If I plant one corn seed in the ground, I'm going to have one corn plant that grows out of the ground. But if I plant a handful of corn seeds, and I grab these here, and I say I've got there's about 10 or 15 there, and I take these 10 corn seeds, and I plant them, and I scatter them. I'll not walk over there. And I scatter them. All right, that's how they would used to plant. They would scatter it, and they would sow their field. Now I've got corn plants. They could grow everywhere over there where I scattered the corn seed. And for everyone, there's one there, there's one there, there's one there, there's one there. There's a whole bunch of corn that can grow now because I didn't just plant one. I planted a bunch. So the law of sowing and reaping is if you sow sparingly just a little bit, you're going to reap sparingly. You're going to reap a little bit. If you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. Let's compare this to giving. And the title of this message is Being God's Giving Partner. Now, there is no individual on this earth who is a better businessman than God is at whatever it is that he does. I've heard this said, God's business is the biggest business. Now, we ought not just look at what God does as a business and run it like a business, but I want you to understand this. If a businessman came up to me and said, hey, I want to invest in you and I want you to be my partner and I'm going to give all this money to you and you just invest it, I'd probably take that opportunity. What would happen if God came to you and said the same thing? If God came and said, listen, I've got an opportunity for you. I've got an opportunity for you to make a difference in this world. I've got an opportunity for you to do my work and my will around the world. And here's how you're going to do it. The first rule is if you give sparingly, you're going to reap or be blessed or see results sparingly. But if you give bountifully, and we're talking about giving towards missions, and that's what 2 Corinthians chapter 9 is about. If you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. The law of sowing and reaping says the more you plant, the more you reap, the more you can harvest. And God compares giving to planting a seed. If a farmer scatters a seed into the ground, it looks like he's thrown it away. I mean, really, does it look like that? There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. If you take your corn seeds and you toss them into the ground where they're going to get water and they're going to get sunlight, it looks maybe like you just threw your corn seed out onto the dirt, but it's going to increase. But if you take your corn seeds and you just keep your corn seeds and you say, I've got a handful of corn seeds here and I don't want to waste them and I don't want to lose them, so I'm going to keep them for myself. And you can keep those corn seeds and you can keep them all winter long. And you can keep them next summer and maybe even the next year. And you keep those corn seeds. They're never going to turn into a corn plant. They're never going to grow up and have a corn plant with not just one corn seed on it, but an ear of corn and another ear of corn and another ear of corn. God compares giving to planting a seed. It looks like you're throwing it away, but when you give, it multiplies. If you hoard your seed in your barn, it looks like you saved it. It looks like you preserved it. But in reality, you have no increase. And eventually you're going to go hungry. So just like planting a seed positions a farmer to get a harvest, giving our resources positions us for God's blessing. The law of sowing and reaping. Here you go. You ready? The first part of that law is this. You reap what you sow. Have you ever heard that phrase before? You reap what you sow. If I plant a corn seed, it's almost like I'm playing marbles over here, but I'm not. If I plant a corn seed, can I go out there in August, and if I plant it in May, and I go out there in August, can I go out there in August and expect to have a tomato plant growing there? Absolutely not. You're only going to get what you plant. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38, go ahead and turn there if you would. Turn to Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. We're going to use that for a portion of our message here. Jesus is talking about giving, and he's talking about investing into the kingdom of God. These are some amazing truths that we're learning this morning. As I was studying last night, getting ready for this, I was getting excited about my missions commitment this year. I started getting excited about what I can do to help people be saved around this world. And not only that, but how God blesses when we give to his work. It was getting me excited about that. So in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, we see you reap what you sow. Ready? Here it is. Give, and it shall be given unto you. If you plant, you will reap. You may have heard this phrase before, but I'm going to give it to you again. This phrase is this: you can't outgive God. Have you ever heard that phrase before? You can't outgive God. Well, it's true. God says, Jesus said it right here, give and it shall be given unto you. Ask any Christian who's been giving to God for very long and they'll tell you, I can't outgive God. We've been giving our tithe, and which is 10% of our income. We've been giving towards missions for the entire time that we've been married. And I'm telling you, we've never given more to God than he's given to us. It's an amazing thing. And it's this principle that God says, listen, let me teach you a principle. Is the sowing and reaping principle. You're going to get what you sow. But more than that, you reap more than you sow. Look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 38 again. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together. You're going to get more than you sow. When you give to God's work, you learn how generous God is. This is an amazing truth. Listen, I'm not preaching this morning. I could have preached on how to be saved and how to know for sure you're going to heaven. And that's super important. I chose this morning to preach about how we can go out into the world and reach a lost world with the gospel so they can know for sure that they're going to heaven. This is an incredibly important message, so don't discount it and say, well, that's probably for somebody else. I want you to get this. The Bible says if you give, it will be given to you good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over. God has built multiplication into the laws of harvest. One corn seed can produce a stalk of corn with between 500 and 1,200 kernels of corn in each ear. Think about this. If there's 3 ears of corn on there, you took one corn or one seed. I can't hold these this word. You take one seed and you plant it, and instead of just having one seed to eat for dinner, can you imagine that? Honey, I brought dinner home. Here's our one seed. And we're going to microwave this, and we're going to cook it for dinner tonight, and this is going to be for our dinner. She's going to think I'm crazy. Or if I plant it, and then I get a corn stalk, and it's got several stalks of corn on it, we can actually have a whole dinner. So you reap what you sow, you reap more than you sow, and you reap in proportion as you sow. Look at Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. Listen to this. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. The same measurement that I decided I'm going to give sparingly, I'm just going to give a little bit, that's what God says. I'm going to bless you a little bit. But if I say, God, I want to give bountifully and I want to invest in a big way in your work, God says, that's how I'm going to give back to you. You reap in proportion as you sow. God's blessings are in direct proportion to our giving. And in God's economy, giving is a form of investing. If we only knew how richly God would bless our giving, think about this, we'd never be tempted to withhold anything from him again. My son and I were talking about this just a couple days ago. If we knew the blessings that God had for us, we would never be tempted not to live for him. I mean, one of these days we're going to get to heaven and I don't know if God's going to show us all the blessings that we could have had. I don't know. I don't know if the Bible teaches that. But what if you could see it? But what if one of these days you could get to heaven and you could see the blessings that you could have had you invested in missions and had you obeyed God and given to his work? If you were to be able to see that, you would never again say, I don't know that I really want to give to the Lord's work. Because you would see the blessings that God has for you. You reap what you sow, you reap more than you sow, you reap in proportion as you sow, and you reap after you sow. The Bible says it shall be measured to you again. What farmer expects to have a harvest before he plants the seeds? Let's talk crazy here for a minute, okay? What farmer is going to get a handful of seeds and he's going to hold on to that handful of seeds and he's going to say, okay, here's my plan. As soon as the corn starts growing and I see that God is going to bless, then I'll plant my corn. You know it doesn't work that way. That's even silly to even say it. A farmer's going to go out and he's going to plant his seeds. And after he plants his seeds, then he's going to have a harvest. Many Christians are missing God's blessing because they're waiting for the extra money to come in before they give to God's work. You know, God rewards giving partly because God rewards faith. Tonight, if you'll come, I'm going to teach. Our series on Sunday nights is why. Our why series. Tonight, I'm going to teach why do we use faith, promise, giving at New Heights Baptist Church. It's just going to be a clear teaching on faith, promise, giving. So we give by faith. And whenever we give by faith, God rewards that. You reap after you sow. And this law is based on the promises of God. There's a promise of God in Malachi chapter 3. It's talking about tithing. Let me read this promise to you. It's specifically about tithing, but it's talking about giving. I want to read this to you. The Bible says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." God says, if you will give to my work, I will pour out a blessing that's far beyond the amount that you gave to my work. There shall not be room enough to receive. But it happens after you sow. So you're sitting down with this very wealthy businessman. He says, I want you to be my partner. And he says, the first rule you've got to learn is the rule of sowing and reaping, the law of sowing and reaping. You reap what you sow, you reap after you sow, you reap in proportion to what you sowed, and you reap more than you sow. That's the law of sowing and reaping. But then he said there's something else. There's a plan that we have. There's a method that we have. Look at chapter 9. Go to 2 Corinthians, if you would. 2 Corinthians and chapter 9. And God gives us a method. God gives us a plan. He gives us a way that we're supposed to give, and in this case, to missions. Chapter 9 and verse number 7. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. The Bible says this: every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Here's the process. Here's the way God said to do it. Here's the biblical method of giving, and that is this: give as you purpose in your heart. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7 said, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Make a decision to give to God. Make a decision how much you will give to God. Purpose in your heart. I have purposed in my heart that I'm going to give my tithe to God. That means 10% of what God increases me with, I've already made that decision. I'm going to give that to God. I don't have to think through it every week. I don't have to argue with my wife about it every week. We just know. We've made a decision. We've purposed in our heart. We are going to give 10% of what God increases us with to God, whether it's income or whether it's a gift or whatever it is. If it's increased us, we made a decision, we're just going to give it to God. So we purpose in our heart. Make a decision what you're going to give to God. Make a decision how much you'll give to God. And then always be willing to allow God to increase that amount. Remember what I told you. Once we get to heaven and see all the blessings that we could have had, we will wish we had done more. I really believe this. Every one of us will wish we had given more. God always returns more than we give to Him. It's just a matter of faith for us to take a step out and say, okay, God, I'm actually going to prove you, which He said to do in Malachi chapter 3. And then give as God directs through the Bible. When God tells us in the Bible how we're supposed to give, we just need to do exactly what the Bible says. So Malachi 3:8, the Bible says, will a man rob God? That's the question. And then the answer is, yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And God says, in tithes and offerings. And then He says, go ahead and, can you find Malachi? If you could find Matthew, Malachi is going to be the book right before that. And God's teaching us on tithing right there in the very last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3. The question was, God, have we robbed you? And God says, yes, you have robbed me. And the people say to God, well, how have we robbed you? Give me one example of where we robbed you. And God says, sure, I'll give you two, in tithes and offerings. So Malachi chapter 3, look at verse 9 now. And God says, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. And then in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, he says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God tells us how we're supposed to give. We're supposed to give in tithes and in offerings. In 1 Corinthians 16:2, let me just read this to you. Listen carefully, because you're not turning there. Listen carefully. 1 Corinthians 16:2, God says how to give. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So God says we're supposed to give our tithe, that means 10%, and our offerings, and we're supposed to give it, and the Bible says, on the first day of the week. We're supposed to lay it up in store. We're supposed to give it to them that first day of the week. So we've got some instructions. We need to purpose in our heart. Every man giveth as he has purpose in his heart. I have purpose in my heart, and you ought to do the same thing, to give the way God says to give. But then also, give as God directs through His Holy Spirit. God's Spirit speaks to your spirit. The Holy Spirit, if you're a Christian, lives inside of you, and you should allow God to direct your decisions and actions through His Spirit. And when it comes to giving to missions, we ought to yield to the Holy Spirit. Whenever it's time for the missions commitments, that which is this Sunday, whenever that Sunday comes around, our prayer to God ought to be, God, would you please show me what you want me to give? God, would you please show me through your Holy Spirit what you want me to give? Because I want to give what you want me to give. Remember, it's God's money. Just like the very wealthy man that sits down with you and says, I want to invest in you in this business. And he says, I'm going to give you my money to spend. God says, I want to give you my money to spend it. And think about it. Everything that we have in this life came from God. It's in Deuteronomy. The Bible says, it is God that giveth us the power to get wealth. And God says, everything that you've got, everything that I have, really, it came from Him. So I'm just investing His money. I want to invest His money His way. So I want to invest it the way God says to invest it in the Bible. I want to invest it the way God says to invest it through His Holy Spirit. And then the Bible says not to give grudgingly. He says not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Don't give grudgingly. You know, how would I give grudgingly? Pressure from somebody else would make me give grudgingly. You know, I really don't want to give that amount, but because this person said I ought to give that amount, I really don't like it, but I feel like I have to. If I don't give something, I'll look bad. But that's not how God wants us to give. God wants us to give, if we could do this, if we could pray and say, God, I want to give what you want me to give. Please show me what you want me to give. Please show me what you want me to give towards missions this year. He's already told us what He wants our tithe to be. That's 10%. But then I need to go to God and say, God, would you show me what you want me to give to missions this year? And ask Him to guide us and ask Him to show us what that amount ought to be. There were people in the Bible that gave the wrong way. Ananias and Sapphira gave the wrong way. They gave, but they gave the wrong way, and they lied about it, and God killed them for lying about it. You know, guilt is a bad motive for giving. Don't give to missions a certain amount just because the preacher got up and preached about giving to missions. Now, we ought to give to missions, I believe. It's in the Bible. But you need to find out from God and have a relationship with God where you can talk to Him and say, God, I really want you to show me what you want me to give. Don't give grudgingly. You know, don't give because, I'm going to say this the right way, but don't give because you have to. Well, now, we're supposed to. But do you realize that if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, whether you give any money to God or not, you're going to heaven. Giving is not a way for us to earn our way to heaven. We don't buy our way into heaven. There are some religions that teach that if you give money to the church, it'll help you get to heaven. That's not what the Bible teaches. So don't give because you feel like you have to get eternal life. Give cheerfully. God loves a cheerful giver. Give cheerfully because what you give to God has eternal value. Think about this. If I invest in a missionary going across the world and preaching the gospel, somebody's going to get saved. And the Bible says, this is Jesus talking. He said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You can give cheerfully when you remember that giving to God's work is the same as putting money in a savings account in heaven. Really, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about investing in eternity. So you sat down with this really rich guy and he told you how to run his business. He said, first, the rule you got to learn is the law of sowing and reaping. The second thing you got to learn is the method of investing. You got to learn how I want you to use my money. And the third thing you need to learn is where the money's coming from. Now think about this. You're sitting down at this restaurant, probably McDonald's, right? This millionaire took you to McDonald's to talk finances with you, right? And you're sitting at this table and he told you the law of sowing and reaping. And he told you the method that you're supposed to invest. Then he says, I want to remind you where the money's coming from. Now, would it do you any good to get a big head at this point and kind of respond in a proud way and say, I really don't care where this money's coming from. I'm just going to do it my way. That's not going to help. In fact, you're probably going to lose your opportunity. You're probably going to get fired right there. What we need to realize as we're sitting at this lunch meeting with this very wealthy businessman that wants to invest in us, that it is his money that we get a chance to invest. It's not my money, it's his money. And whenever it comes to God working in our lives and God telling us to invest, it's his money that he wants us to invest in missions. Deuteronomy 8:18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. It's God that gives us power to give wealth, to get wealth. God's able to give you enough to give to every good work that he wants you to give to. God is able. And in 2 Corinthians, we see God is able to make all grace abound towards you, always having all sufficiency in all things, that you may be able to abound to every good work. When you give to God, you're setting yourself up to be able to give much more to God. Here's what God wants you to be, and I'm going to be done. God wants you to be what we would call a clearinghouse for his money, for his finances, for you to use to invest in his kingdom. God has everything he needs. The Bible says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. That's a whole lot of cattle, I'm assuming. He has everything that he needs. He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. I don't need anything from you. But he says, I've got everything we need. And there are missionaries around this world who need the resources that God has. And he said, I have chosen to give it to the Christians so that they can distribute it and get it to those missionaries through their local church. God wants you to be a clearinghouse. He's looking for somebody that he could partner with, that he can give them the money, and they won't just keep it for themselves. He can give them the money, and they'll invest it the way he wants them to, by using the law of sowing and reaping, by understanding where that money comes from, by doing it God's way. God's looking for financial partners that he can trust to run his business his way. Let me ask you this. Are you investing the money that God has blessed you with the way God wants you to do it? Just want you to consider that. As our church is getting ready to start a brand new year for missions, I want to ask you to give what God wants you to give and give the way that God wants you to give. Remember the law of sowing and reaping. Remember that if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. God will bless that. We can see people around the world saved, reach with the gospel as we invest in missions. That's why we had a missions conference 2 weeks ago. That's why I'm going to ask every person, every member of New Heights Baptist Church, to take the Faith Promise Commitment card and pray about what God would have you to promise to give this year in missions. Pray about what God would have you to give. Make that commitment. And then every week this year, give towards missions. I'll teach you a little bit more about that tonight. I'll teach you why we do it that way. I'll teach you why we don't just give our tithes to the church and then take 10% cut of the church and give it to missions. I believe Faith Promise is a very biblical way to do it, and that's what we're doing this morning. Father, I pray that you would help us to give to your work and give to missions the way that you want us to. Lord, I'm starting to understand the excitement about being able to give cheerfully and give in such a way that it's going to make a difference to missionaries around the world. I came to church this morning excited about being able to make a commitment. Lord, I pray that you'd help our people to get that. I pray that you help our people to understand that we can make a difference in this world. We can help reach this world with the gospel. Lord, I pray that now you would give us clarity as we're making decisions. As our church now is making decisions on what they're going to commit to missions and what they're going to give to missions and what we are going to give to missions this year. I pray that you would guide us. I pray that you would help us to make the commitment the way you would want us to make that commitment. Lord, I pray that you'd provide for all of the needs, the missionaries that we've committed to support and the missionaries that we want to commit to support. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you that we get a chance to help somebody go around the world and reach somebody with the gospel.